Thank you, Michael, very much. Well, before we look at God's word together, let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has so made us, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word of yours. Cause us to find in it the way to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Her Majesty the Queen was crowned Queen in Westminster Abbey on June 2nd, 1953. At that service, she was presented with a Bible and was told, as her predecessors had been told in previous coronations since 1689, these things about the Bible. We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. And Her Majesty the Queen has tried in Christ's strength to follow the teaching of the Lord in the Scriptures. Well, in her 90 years, the world has changed. Television has become the dominant medium, but that may be changing. Man has gone into space and walked on the moon. The Union Jack has flown in space. The Berlin Wall was built and broken down. Global travel has become available to us all. And now we have the wide world web. Today, she has over 600 patronages of organizations and charities. She is head of state, the fount of justice, head of the armed forces, the defender of the faith, and supreme governor of the Church of England. And whatever our political views, as part of a nation which is a constitutional monarchy and belongs to a Commonwealth of Nations, we esteem and admire her dogged work, her commitment and loyalty to her high role, and her part in the life of a nation. And later on, we'll enjoy the birthday celebrations with millions of others as we gather in sun or rain, to eat good food and drink wine and talk together. And the tributes remind us, haven't they, of just how much the Queen has done and how much her faith means to her. At her coronation, the Queen was given an orb with more than 600 jewels and pearls, with a cross mounted on top, to symbolise the rule of Christ Jesus over the earth. And this symbol of power put into her hand indicated that she is a servant of a greater king, Christ, represented by the cross which sits above that orb or globe. When her father was feeling deeply concerned and weighed down, in 1939, aged just 13, Her Majesty and her family were living in Buckingham Palace, and she presented her father with a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins. It said this: I said to the man who stood at the gate of a year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. That early commitment of Her Majesty to the Lord has continued and grown and deepened. And today we give thanks for the servant queen. But recall as well that she is also serving a greater king, the Lord Jesus. Every day the queen receives at Buckingham Palace the red boxes from across in Downing Street, things to read, keep up on what's going on. She's met, as we mentioned already, every week with the prime ministers for 11 years with Margaret Thatcher and a good number of years with Tony Blair, but still this goes on. Have you thought about that? We know nothing about what she thinks about the different prime ministers. And yet she's very open about what she believes about the centrality of Jesus Christ in her life. It's shown not just in her words, like the Christmas broadcasts, but also her priorities in her daily tasks. She's a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope many of us are as well. She listens carefully to what he said and follows that in her life. And discipleship for all of us is cruciform in shape. And for us, as for her, as Christian believers, we're called first not to a life of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Listen again to those words we had in our reading. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. That is the worst prayer ever prayed. It deserves to be entered as that in the Guinness Book of Records. What they're saying, a bit like perhaps you did when you were a 10 or 11-year-old, you'd say to your friend at school, bag me a seat. Save me a special place. And actually the world expects that. And people so often claw after a gong, or they claw after a knighthood or a peerage. Let's be honest about ourselves. There'd be something quite attractive about having our backs patted, or needing to have to pull out our pen to sign autographs. We quite like the idea of that, don't we, in our more honest moments. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 45, should you seek great things for yourself, seek them not. We're called to deny self, as Her Majesty has. I was in Cambridge yesterday for John Drake's wedding. Didn't have time to do this, but if you go to Trinity College, Cambridge, there's a marvellous Wren library. And the story is told about a man who fled Nazi Germany who came to work in that library during the war and continued afterwards. His grasp of English wasn't very good, but he used to help the undergraduates find some vital paper or book and provide it for them, for their research. And that man, as recorded, had a lovely phrase. He used to say to the undergraduates, dispose of me as you want. That is, I'm here to serve you. Dispose of me as you wish. And that's what Her Majesty's done with her life. A life not of self-centeredness, but self-giving. As we heard in tributes, she's normally worked at least 50 hours a week, and certainly till very recently, that's continued. It's dropped a bit. As a Christian believer, our lives are not lives of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Second, as Christian believers, as in Her Majesty's life, our lives are called not to be a life of power and status, but lowly service. let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. In your glory. The New English Bible translates that to sit in state with you. Well, Her Majesty's life has been one of humble service, not lording it over others. I had somebody in our home, and the remnants are there, who's right at the centre of the chapel at Windsor and the castle's life. And it just came out in conversation. This distinguished man said, strangely, every now and then at the weekend, you can see Her Majesty cooking supper, because there's one small window where you can see her preparing a simple evening meal. You might not expect that, but isn't that a glorious thing? But Her Majesty prepares a simple supper for her and her husband. Humble service. A life not of power and status, but lowly service. And third, not a life as a Christian believer of comfort and security, but sacrifice and suffering. James and John say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Let one of us sit at your right hand, the other at your left in glory. You can picture it, can't you? Think, let us be right at the centre with gold goblets of glorious wine. But what does Jesus say? You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. That's what James and John had to learn. James was beheaded for his Christian faith. John was sent into lonely exile. And Jesus' own life, well, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The Son of Man, Jesus, led an absolutely regal life. He committed no sin and revealed no selfishness. He went to die on a cross. And there he took on himself all the sin and rebellion of his citizens as he died. That's us, in our place. He took the hell which would be otherwise ours. It was the ultimate act of sacrifice which he made because he loves us so much. I've never met Her Majesty the Queen, but Jesus died that we might come to know him in a personal way. And as king, even over death, Jesus rose again, defeating the grave. And today, as the Queen knows, and this is what directs her life, Jesus is the exalted King, and he'll return as Lord and Judge and King. I am the Christ, he said, and you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. As we heard earlier, Her Majesty looks in two directions. I wonder, do we? Upwards towards King Jesus and outwards to others. She relies on him. 1947, April 21st, she said this publicly, I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. God help me to make good my vow. Well, Tommy Cooper, those of us who are a bit older, remember Tommy Cooper? Well, I was only three when he performed at the Royal Variety Performance at London Palladium. Well, it's 1964. And after the show, the Queen was introduced to the stars of the show. And the uninhibited and fairs-wearing comedian, Tommy Cooper, asks her if she minds answering a personal question. not the normal protocol with the Queen. She replied, "No, but I might not be able to give you all of the answer." Cooper said, "Do you like football?" "Well, not really," the Queen replies. He then said, "In that case, do you mind if I have your cup final tickets?" Well, Her Majesty may not enjoy football, but with a 10K marathon in Wargrave happening at the same time as this service this morning, are you aware she loves marathons? Doesn't run them herself, but loves seeing them take place. And that reminds me that Her Majesty's life has been a lifetime marathon as she continues as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not a life of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Not a life of power and status, but lowly service. Not a life of comfort and security, but sacrifice and suffering. Amen.